Welcome to the Nourishment Mindset Podcast, your guide to good food, good health, and a good life. And now, here's your host, Nutrition Network Advisor and author of The Nourishment Mindset, Dixie Huey.
Happy Transformation Tuesday, y'all. Welcome to or back to the Nourishment Mindset Podcast, where we are on a metabolic mission to help you achieve vitality through real whole foods, straight talk, and the pleasures of the table. So today I have a special guest. He's not going to be with us for very long, but I realize that even though Travis is in the image that I have out there for the podcast, y'all have probably never really met Travis the Newf. This is my 120-pound big boy, and he's fabulous. If you're watching this on YouTube, you'll see him. So I encourage you to go over there just to see Travis. You can't see him if it's on Apple Podcast or Substack. But anywho, I just thought I should introduce him. He makes me happy. We all need something in our lives that just makes us blissfully happy. My mother says that for me, Newfoundlands, when I'm around them, just takes me back to a childlike state. And it is absolutely true. He brings me lots of joy. And it is kind of funny because I'm a neat freak and he slobbers and sheds everywhere. So it doesn't have to make sense. Well, now that Travis the Newf has made his cameo special appearance, we are going to get to work. We got a lot of fun stuff to talk about today, including a book that I just finished that is incredible, a fun product. I thought, you know, I'm always researching like swaps for healthier products for skin and home, and I don't have like affiliate advertising. That's not interesting to me, but I can still mention stuff that I like in an attempt to just declutter the home and use products that don't have metabolic disrupting effects. And we'll get into that later in the show. So today's show is all about nutrient density. Nutrient density is so important. Many of us have been told to count calories, to count grams of this, steps of that, yada, yada, yada. To me, nothing is more important than the nutrient density of your foods. So let's talk about that. From a very young age, I learned to count calories. I was a ballerina and I was always trying to lose weight and I didn't have the right body type for that. And I learned that, you know, if you want to lose weight, you cut your calories, you lose weight. I went on my first diet at age 10. I got pudgy before my growth spurt there, before I got, frankly, skinny, and then with an eating disorder, too skinny. And through that first diet, you know, the scale went down. I was feeling really good. I'll admit it, I kind of got a little high. Maybe I was like addicted to kind of the feeling of, you know, not eating so much. I'm not sure, but something there clicked in my brain. And I know that that's a part of the causal reason for the eating disorder I later went on to have. And I detail that in my book, The Nourishment Mindset, as well as how I got through that and came out on the other side much better. This, you know, when I was 10, it was the 80s. We had leg warmers for aerobics and thin was in, right? You know, I would say now, thank goodness, you know, healthy is in, strong is in. And when we focus on restricting ourselves to lose weight, while this may work in terms of what's measured on the scale, we have no measurement of, say, being lacking in certain vitamins and minerals. A big one is the loss of muscle mass. So you can lose weight really quickly. You just stop eating, but you're going to lose a lot of lean tissue. And then that means that when you start eating again, your metabolism is going to be even lower because muscle creates a higher metabolism. You also disrupt your hormones when you undernourish yourself. For me, it was, you know, now looking back, it's totally obvious. I didn't get my period until I was 16 and a half. And I had a very decreased metabolic rate because the body is just trying to survive and cutting out things that aren't absolutely necessary. And so if you're someone who
is looking to improve your health, maybe drop some excess body fat, I urge you to think about nutrient density instead of nutrient restriction. And if you are fortunate and you're not looking to drop pounds or extra body fat, then nutrient density is still important because this is going to ensure that our hormones are operating well. It's going to ensure that we're feeding that hard-earned muscle, that we are not depleted in any vitamins, minerals, etc. So nutrient density, this is a new lens. You know, I had my computer lenses on here. I have a new pair of lenses. The problem with these things, because it's so sunny out, is there's a glare. So I'm taking them off because I'm finding that glare distracting to look at. So that's our new lens. And think about it. 100 calories of steak and 100 calories of gummy bears. These are not delivering the same thing to your body. Steak has myriad, has so much protein. That's not much steak, by the way, 100 calories. I'm just trying to do an apples to apples comparison. But you've got proteins, you've got all manner of vitamins, you've got nourishing animal fat, which is really important for your hormone regulation. It is the most nutrient dense food on the planet. Beef, boom, booyah. Compared to 100 calories of gummy bears, what nutritionally is in there? Nothing. There's nothing in there, but probably high fructose corn syrup, some food dyes, fillers, other metabolic disrupting things. So 100 calories is not 100 calories. This is why nutrient density is so important. So we really need to think about ideally having this cornucopia of nutrients coming into our system every day, week. That's what's going to keep us vital, functioning well, feeding the hormones, etc. Here's where you find nutrient density. There's no nutrient density score. Beef would be 100%, you know, eggs 100%, butter way up there, nutrient dense foods, salmon, you name it. But that doesn't exist at this time. So where do you find this information? I'll give you a clue. It's not really on that nutrition label that we're told to focus on. It's on the teeny little minuscule ingredients label that's so small. I now need readers to really look at it unless I'm looking at something online. But this is going to tell you the story because what's in it? Find a nutrition label on your carton of eggs. Doesn't exist, right? You can look up the nutrient density of eggs and it's incredible. But if you're looking at a packaged food, that's going to tell you what you need to know. So what is in there? Is it a bunch of grains, inflammatory, factory fats, preservatives, dyes, et cetera? Or are you actually getting nutrients? So look at the ingredient label. You can look at the nutrition label to see if it, for example, has dietary fat, hopefully naturally occurring, not added. And protein is a really big one to look at. If you're looking to shed pounds, you might be looking to limit your total carbohydrate consumption rather. So you could look at those too. Another example is eggs, nature's veritable vitamin, versus these fake plant-based eggs, which tend to have soybean oil and all other kinds of crap. So y'all, don't be fooled. This plant-based stuff, look at the ingredients and then you tell me, okay? You cannot replace what nature has put in front of us that's beautiful and perfect. You can try, but the ingredients label tells you the answer to, should I spend my money on this stuff? Okay. So I'm asking us to really focus in this nutrient density episode on the richness that is brought to you by the food choices that you're making. And if the food doesn't have nutrient richness, then is it something you really want to eat? Occasionally we make a health account withdrawal, but it may not be worth it. So that's my big tip for today on evaluating what to put on your plate and in your home. Some questions you might ask yourself if you're wondering, you know, is this going to spike my blood sugar and therefore my insulin level? So anything super high in sugar and carbohydrates, yep, that's going to spike. This may or may not be a problem for you. Maybe you don't have any blood sugar issues and you're a marathoner and that works for your body. Super. Maybe you're someone who's pre-diabetic, so you probably want to avoid that. Is this going to balance with my hormones or harmonize with my hormones? So this is one where let's use factory fats versus natural fats. So stinky seed oils like soybean oil, the worst of the worst. This is a known metabolic disruptor. It's full body inflammatory versus good old butter, vitamin A, D, K, all the good stuff. The other stuff may have some vitamins, but it comes at a price, and that's that full body inflammation. So is there a side effect of the food that I'm thinking about eating? You know, am I going to be bloated? Am I going to feel nourished? How does the food make me feel? So that's another indicator of nutrient richness or nutrient density. So think about these things and maybe shy away. Let's stop thinking about calories, grams of this, grams of that. Let's just really think about nourishing ourselves and nutrient density. So if you have any questions about that, you can ping me. You can follow me on favorfat.substack.com. You can find me on LinkedIn. You can find me on Instagram, Nourishment Mindset. Plenty of places to ask me a question. You can go to my website, favorfat.com. That's where I'm selling the book in addition to on Amazon. If you want a signed copy, just pop over there. You'll see it on the site. You also have a link to my email on the site if you want to do it that way. I love getting emails from listeners and viewers. In fact, I got a great one with a great idea for a future episode about sharing. This person volunteered to do this, a health coaching call. So what is a health coaching call? Y'all are going to find out this summer. So stay tuned. So let's switch gears a little bit. Okay. I mentioned that I had just finished a book. Now I have a funny thing. First of all, I love to actually read books. Like I want to touch books, right? Second of all, this is a hardcover book and I tend to take the jackets off. So this book is called Change Your Diet, Change Your Mind, okay? And I love it. It's by Dr. Georgia Ead, who is a nutritional psychologist. She's incredible. The book blew me away on many, many levels. It's wowza. All right, so I'm just going to share just a teeny little snippet. But essentially, before I go there, she's talking about how getting ketones, being in nutritional ketosis, which happens when you lower your carbohydrate consumption down to very low. This is how you can reverse type 2 diabetes with medical supervision. I must add, you don't want to do that on your own if you are taking diabetic medications and other metabolic diseases such as obesity by getting into nutritional ketosis. That's one of my areas of expertise. But Dr. Ead is involved in groundbreaking research about using ketogenic dietary approaches to calm the brain. And that is one of the side effects of being in nutritional ketosis. Clients talk to me all the time about sleeping better, but also just more mental clarity. And this is because the brain loves ketones. So when you drop your carbohydrates, I generally recommend to under 30. Some people can get by with under 50. Your body will start producing ketones, which are circulating free fatty acids. This is an indication that A, you are in nutritional ketosis, which is generally defined as above 0.5, the optimal zone somewhere 0.5 to 3.0. If you have 0.3 or 0.4, you've got a moderate level of ketones circulating, healing bodies, I love to call them. Anything less than that, you're not producing ketones. But as I said, the brain loves them. This is a very efficient fueling system for the body. And it turns out there are more applications than just weight loss, diabetes reversal. So this is page 152 of her hardcover, the Change Your Diet, Change Your Mind book. Here's an example. At age 45, he, a client of hers, saw a psychiatrist who provided counseling and prescribed Lexapro. Y'all, this is an antidepressant. Both of which helped somewhat until age 55, when after changing jobs, he experienced his deepest depression yet. I had thoughts of suicide for most days for months on end. Heavy stuff. He had no energy to exercise, and so his weight rose to 205 pounds. He was referred to a psychiatrist and recalls asking him, "I have a son in college, a good marriage, and my wife and I make good money. Why do I want to die?" After several years of changing antidepressants, he arrived at Effexor, which thankfully eased his depression, but also caused side effects. And y'all, that's a big issue with a lot of the mental health medications is side effects, of course, any medication. You have to weigh the pros and cons. So on the advice of a popular book, he adopted a vegan diet and started running again. He lost weight, his mood improved somewhat, but the diet caused significant gastrointestinal distress and it didn't resolve his depression, so he discontinued after 6 months. At age 56, he started a low-carbohydrate diet. He felt so much better and was able to taper off psychiatric medication. His triglycerides dropped from 170 to 65. That's beautiful. His hemoglobin A1C, which means a three-month average of blood sugars, essentially, became normal at 5.4%. And at 6'2", his weight was a healthy 170. He's been following a low-carbohydrate diet for more than 6 years and remains symptom-free. "I have become a better version of me than I have been for my entire life. It's ridiculous how good I feel. It's a miracle, really. I wouldn't believe it if it hadn't happened to me. I absolutely have a new life. I realize diet cannot fix every mental problem, but 100% it fixed mine." So this is, of course, an N of one, a study of one. It's just one little story that she mentions in the book, but it's a powerful one. It is certainly, if you're someone who, especially if you don't have, if you're not on diabetes medications and you're suffering from mental health issues, why not give it a try to see if it helps you lowering the carbohydrates? Because what is happening when we do that? Well, if you're on a higher carbohydrate diet, that means that your blood sugar is more of a roller coaster, up and down. Everyone is different. But when you lower the carbohydrates in the in your nutrition plan, your spikes get more boring. I always tell my clients, you know, we want kind of boring blood glucose. You can have excitement elsewhere in your life, but that up and down, spike and fall, it doesn't feel good. So the brain really likes like an even Steven blood sugar. And so this is why it had, you know, helped this gentleman and countless others to feel better, because you're taking away those spikes and falls. And it's of course an anti-inflammatory state. So great book. One of the most interesting things in the book is when Dr. Ede is talking about an experiment that she does in France, where they are able to really drastically reduce medications for some seriously mentally ill people suffering from schizophrenia and bipolar. Some of them go medication free. It's really incredible. And this is all focusing on a ketogenic diet. So if you or anyone that you know is suffering from any mental health conditions, give this book a read. See what you think. She has some very practical elements in the back as well. I found some recipes that I'm definitely going to be trying. She's got some sample meal plans ranging from on the more extreme end, like a more carnivore or animal-based approach, to keto, to paleo. So you could try to see which approach works for you, because that's the thing. We're all different, it turns out, and different things work for different people. But as I tell my clients, you know, in general, any amount of carbohydrate restriction for the most part is going to be a beneficial thing, particularly if you have blood sugar issues and or obesity. Some other things that Dr. Ede discusses, my favorite subject, or one of them, I should say, she does a deep dive into cholesterol. I love talking about cholesterol. I've done articles on cholesterol. I've done episodes on cholesterol. If you go to favorfat.substack.com in the search bar, you can hit cholesterol and boom, those suckers will pop up. But again, one of my favorite topics. And she also talks about something that I have been talking about in this episode, and that is nutrient density, the importance of And she calls meat the superfood. And I agree with her completely. And that is just given its nutrient density. She argues that we need to eat meat for our brain to function optimally. So think on that. If you're considering lowering your meat consumption, what are the risks and rewards of that? All the people out there promoting reduced animal product consumption very rarely, if maybe never, discuss the actual risks of that. The other thing that she leaves us with is that, you know, a lot of times when we make dietary changes, particularly if they're tough, we think about, oh, okay, what I can't have, I'm gonna have to give this up, yada, yada. But she says something I love. So even if you are giving up something, the high carbohydrate approach, on the flip side, what are you saying yes to? And I love that concept. So when you prioritize your health, let's make it more general. You're saying no to some things, but you are also saying yes to other things. So that's a great, and this can be applied in life to other things outside of just physical and mental health. So switching gears a little bit, if you've been listening a while, you know that J'adore la France, vive la France. France is in the news. This article will be linked in the show notes. And if you're a subscriber on favorfat@substack.com, you'll of course have the email with the links. But my wonderful, glorious France has issued a ban on meat labels for plant-based products. Good for them. These are not the same things. So I'm not saying that France has banned plant-based, what they would call meat alternatives, but those marketing those products, I'll call them because they are products, highly processed, cannot call them ham or steak or any other meat word. They're going to have to figure out a word for whatever they want to call. I have an idea. I call it mutt, but you know, that's just me being a jerk. But I'm very proud of La Belle France for laying the law down here. Violations of this new decree will result in fines ranging from 1,500 to 7,500 euros for the companies involved in trying to pretend like their mutt is meat. Now, why is this important? Okay. One could certainly argue, you know, that the government has no space in this. And as someone who tends to be more libertarian leaning, I can entertain that argument. But the fact is that in our country, you know, the government's giving out these guidelines for how to eat, and whether we like it or not, they are all wrapped up in nutrition and food. And to me, the bottom line is that, you know, what we're talking about, the theme of the show is nutrient density. So steak and ham have animal product nutrients. These faux or mutt meats do not. Now, you might argue, well, there's this much protein in here and this much blah, blah, blah. Fine. You know, they've added synthetic vitamins, minerals. That's great. There's always inflammatory fat in there. So you had me at inflammatory fat. I can't get past that. I won't get past that. So what we're really talking about is being honest with consumers, because it is not a fair trade to say, oh, well, I'm just giving up beef and I'm going to go with plant beef. And therefore it's equal in terms of what it will do for my body. Not true. If you look through that lens of nutrient density, it is a totally different thing. So again, this is all back to the ingredients. Look at the label. Compare a Beyond Meat label to a beef label. See what the ingredients are in the beef. I got a hint for you. Beef. That's the ingredients. Maybe salt, depending on what you're looking at. Look at the Beyond label ingredients. Enough said. That's the end of that story. Don't be fooled. Don't be fooled. A lot of stuff going on in our food supply in America. We've traveled home from France. We're back in the U.S. I will tell you that it is all about profit and control. There are certain players buying up massive amounts of farmland. They include the likes of Mr. Gates. and the Chinese government. When you can control a food supply, you can control a people. So this is not me being a conspiracy theorist. This is me just being who I always am, the real me. If you don't like what I have to say, that's fine. We don't have to agree on everything. But the narrative is the dangers of meat, when in reality, meat is what makes us strong and vital. We can certainly all agree on needing to raise our animals in a sustainable and regenerative way that benefits the environment. Cows actually have a natural carbon cycle of 10 years that benefits the environment. For more information on this, the expert is Diana Rogers. Check out Sacred Cow, the movie, Sacred Cow, the book. It's incredible. She explains the nuance. And I like to compare the whole argument over, you know, are cow farts bad? By the way, it's burps, not farts, if you want to get real. This whole argument over animals versus the environment is totally misguided. It's sort of like the argument to me over dietary fat. Fat's bad. It's going to clog your arteries and kill you. Well, now that we know that it's more nuanced than that, right? So is all dietary fat bad? Hell no. It's the type. It's the nuance. So nature fat, fats found in nature that you and I could make, such as butter, ghee, olive oil, coconut oil, all these good, healthy, nourishing fats are wonderful for the body and the brain. It's the inflammatory factory fats that are bad for the body and the brain. So that's why I find a comparison here is it's not this simple narrative that fat is bad or that cows are bad. It's much more nuanced. But once again, government told us to eat all these inflammatory fats. The government's been subtly or not so subtly in certain cities telling us to shy away from meat. They're misguided at best, and trying to control population through controlling food supply at worst. So you decide, but you do have bodily autonomy and you can decide what you want to put into your body and do what makes you feel best. So ultimately that's what I'm about, bodily autonomy. You can, again, you can call me a crazy redneck. I'm just saying what I have to say. I do not want to leave on a negative note because this is ultimately about maintaining or regaining your vitality. So again, remember, bodily autonomy. It's your money. You choose where to put it. You choose what works best for you and your family. And of course, no one's talking about being perfect. I have this conversation with people all the time. This is not about a gator bite shall never pass my lips, because the gator bites that I love at the Isle of Capri Fish House, my favorite restaurant in the world, I know those suckers are fried in vegetable oil. You know what? And if I have one or two every quarter, that's fine. I'm going to sip my Sauvignon Blanc and have a couple gator bites because I'm sure there's some really interesting nutrients in alligator, right? And I'm in Florida and I'm a redneck, so I owe it to myself to enjoy and have a little fun with that. So before we depart, I promised that I was going to talk about a product that I am just loving. I have mentioned Redmond Sea Salt before. This stuff is from Utah, an ancient bed there. And Redmond, the company, also makes a bentonite clay. I think of, this is funny to me, okay, because I learned the word bentonite clay in the wine industry, because when you're making wine, often you're going to use something to help filter the wine before you bottle it. So in a lot of cases, this might be one egg white for an entire barrel of wine is going to draw out impurities and help you filter it naturally. Well, some wineries might want to be vegan or have another reason for not wanting to use egg whites, so they will use bentonite clay from time to time. Turns out bentonite clay can be used on your skin, and boy, oh boy, am I loving this stuff. So Redmond's bentonite clay, it just comes in like a jar. It's a very fine powder. All you do is mix a little bit in water. Then you apply it to your skin as a mask. It's really cool. It has like a tightening effect. And then you just wash it off with a washcloth. Booyah. More hippie natural stuff. So you can try it on your skin. See what you think. Let me know or not. If you're a subscriber, you're also going to see this episode's recipe. So if you haven't yet subscribed, go to favorfat.substack.com. In closing, if you haven't bought the book, The Nourishment Mindset, what are you waiting for? Talks about all of this stuff and so much more, plus gives you some juicy details about me and my background. As I said to a member or a client rather this week, you can't tell me anything about your eating disorder that's going to shock me, woman. I've heard and done it all. So many thanks for your listenership, your viewership. If you have show ideas, communicate them to me. Like, I love this show idea of a live coaching episode. That's a great one. So keep those things coming. And if you have bought the book and you liked a book, could you pretty please hop on over to Amazon and give me a rating? I'd love a 5-star rating, but if I don't deserve 5 stars, then that's okay. I'll have to take what I deserve. So I appreciate you, and I look forward to your questions, comments, etc. Be nourished, y'all. Sante.